Lead us now, our Heavenly Father, as we open thy word to study today. Honor thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. For several weeks, we've been studying the grace of God. In the last few days, I've been discussing salvation in the Gospel of John by grace. Yesterday, I talked about Nicodemus. Now, he was saved by grace. He did not do one thing. He came to Jesus, and he made known to Jesus that he had a hunger. He said, I know that you are a teacher. And Jesus said, you must be born again. Then he asked, how can a man be born? And of course, the questions he asked and the very fact that he came to Jesus denoted a hunger. He had religion. He was strictly religious, but he was lost. Now, you say, Brother Green, are you telling me that you are right and you preach the gospel and everybody else is wrong? No, I didn't say that. It is altogether possible to be strictly religious and be lost. Religion is worshiping something or someone. In other words, all people are incurably religious. After all, communism is a religion, and you must be converted. I didn't say born again. I said converted to communism. If you love democracy, as we know democracy in America, if you become a communist, you will be converted to communism, and you'll be converted to communism through the testimony of a communist or through reading literature published by the communist, and they publish millions of tons of it. Now, that's right. Now, here's what I'm saying. I have had the privilege of visiting mission fields in the past years, and I've seen the headhunters and the idol worshipers, and I've seen many kinds and many forms of religion. And some of the religionists are more dedicated to their religion than Christians are to Christ. That's tragic, but it's true. Now, here's what I want you to see. Nicodemus had religion, but he was lost. That is, he did not know Christianity. Of course, we must confess that we were in the transition period. Jesus, the law came by Moses, grace and truth by Jesus. And it was the transition period. And Nicodemus was a devout religionist under the law, but he had a hunger, he had a thirst, and he made a visit to Jesus by night. And in the course of their conversation, he was saved by grace. Yes, I believe Nicodemus was saved that very night. I believe that. And then, of course, later, he grew in grace as the grace of God was revealed even more and more as Jesus tabernacled among men and then as he died and rose again. Now, in chapter 4 of the Gospel of John, we have a magnificent picture of salvation by grace. Now, in verse 6, we read, well, I suppose to get the connection, I should read the first verses. Chapter 4 of John, verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Now, listen, beloved. There were many ways that Jesus could have traveled and reached the city where he was going without going through Samaria. The statement, and he must needs go through Samaria, has to do with the grace of God. What do I mean by that? Jesus was omniscient. He knew that there would be a poor, miserable, wretched sinner at Jacob's well that needed salvation. And he knew this poor, miserable, wretched Samaritan woman would listen to his wonderful words of life. Therefore, he must needs. It was a divine imperative that he travel that route. Does that mean that I believe in hyper-Calvinism, fatalism, ultra-predestination? Does that? No, indeed it does not. Let me say this. You cannot deny the omnipotence, the omniscience, and the omnipresence of God. God is sovereign. That means that God knows everything from eternity through eternity. There is nothing that has ever been or ever will be that God does not know. God knows everything. But that does not change the grace of God, the free will of man, and salvation by grace. Now, Jesus was omniscient. And he knew the woman would be there, so it was necessary that he travel where he would find a hungry heart. Let me say this. It was necessary for God's Son Jesus to leave the bosom of the Father and travel by way of Calvary, that you and I might be saved by grace. All right, so he goes down through the city, and he cometh to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary, he was tired, he was thirsty, because of his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now that was high noon. In that time, it was 12 o'clock noon, and Jesus was sitting there by Jacob's well. And verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Jesus said, give me a drink of water. His disciples were going to the city to buy bread or meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing with which to draw, and well is deep, from which then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and his children, his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now we'll stop right there. Jesus stopped by Jacob's well. He sat down because he was tired. A woman came to draw water, and Jesus said, give me a drink. Now let me say this, dearly beloved. You may be traveling. You may be on your way south for a vacation. You may live up north and you're traveling south. You may live in Florida and you're traveling north. You may live in California and you're traveling across the United States. This program is heard in every state, all 50 states, and around a good part of the world by other stations. And you may be traveling by boat today, or you may be on a train listening to a transistor. You may be in an airplane. I don't know where you are. But let me say, my friend, it is not by chance that you're listening to the Gospel Hour. God in His wisdom, God in His omniscience, knows all about you listening. And it is the will of God to save you if you'll just let God save you. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. God always does the inviting. God always opens the conversation. Now, let me show you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mentioned this day before yesterday. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's good. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Believing precedes calling. Calling brings salvation, but you'll never call until you believe. All right. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? All right. So, hearing comes before believing. Hearing precedes believing. And I don't care where you are, in an airplane, a ship at sea, walking down the street in an automobile, traveling, makes no difference. God has placed this voice, this program, this message at this Christmas season between you and hell. It is not by chance, it is not an accident that you're listening. God in His omniscience knew where you would be, and God knew that I would be on the radio. In His omniscience, God has put this program between you and a devil's hell. Now listen, here's what I'm saying. God knows where you are, who you are, and knows your need. You cannot call until you believe. You cannot believe until you hear. But let me finish my scripture. How shall they preach, or how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach except they be sent? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I've quoted to you Romans 10, 13 through 17. Romans 10, 13 through 17, I have quoted to you. Therefore, I say, God in His great love and in His great mercy, in God's omnipotence, knew you would be right where you are right now, and God has placed this program between you and hell. God called me to preach. I'm preaching. You're listening. If you listen and hear and believe, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right. Now, Jesus asked the woman. He said, give me a drink. You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan. Now, you know what some of you folks have said? You're traveling to your vacation. You've said, I don't understand that preacher. What's he talking about? I don't understand this man, Oliver Green, the gospel hour. Never heard of him. What is he talking about? If you will just be still, if you'll just listen for the next 5 minutes, I'll tell you the greatest story ever told, the best news you've ever heard, and I'll give you the simple plan of salvation. Now, Jesus said, give me a drink. She said, I don't understand it. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who I am, who it is that speaks with you, you'd ask me to give you living water. All right. Now, that certainly called the Samaritan woman to become very curious. And the woman said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. See, she was thinking of the water in Jacob's well. But Jesus was not speaking of water in Jacob's well. He was speaking of the water of the Word. And we talked about that yesterday, except a man be born of water. That's the Word, the living water, the living Word. Now ye are clean through the Word, that he might sanctify the church through the Word, being born again through the incorruptible seed by the Word, the Word, the Word. John 15:3, Ephesians 5:26, and 1 Peter 1:23. So she said, you have no rope, you have no bucket, you have nothing with which to draw. The well is deep. Jesus said, you drink this water, you thirst again. The water that I give, it you may thirst. Her curiosity was stirred and deepened, and she said, give me this water. I want this water. The woman said, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now listen, Jesus opened the conversation. He has made all the propositions. Now she says, I want this water. She believed that she was in the presence of an unusual personality. Now, at that point, she did not know that Jesus was God's Son. But she knew that she was in the presence of an unusual person. She knew that she had never met a man exactly like the man she was talking with about water and drinking water. So she said, I want this water. All right. Now then, to prove her sincerity, prove her honesty, she said, bring your husband. Go get your husband. And she said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, you told the truth, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. The woman said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now she believes she is in the presence of a prophet. She said, sir, I believe you are a prophet. And then the old human nature tried to change the subject. You see, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, this woman says, I believe you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain. The Jews say Jerusalem. Now, where do you think we should worship? Now, listen, she's not ready to worship. She is not ready to worship. She needs grace. She needs to be saved. She's a poor, heart-beating, home-wrecking woman. She's not married to, and yet she's worshiping. Believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship. Ye worship you know not what. Salvation is of the Jews. We know what we worship. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. She said, I know that the Messiah is coming. She must have had a godly mother. Her mother must have told her about the coming of Jesus. She said, I know that Messiah cometh, and when he comes, he'll tell us everything. He'll tell us all things. That is, he'll be omniscient. When the Messiah comes, he'll know everything. He'll tell us everything. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now he gave her living water when he gave her those seven words. I that speak unto thee am he. He gave her grace. He gave her truth. He gave her living water. He gave her bread from heaven. Now watch it. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She said, come see a man that told me everything that I've ever done. Now she puts it in the form of a question. Is not this the Christ? In other words, this must be. Any man that could tell me what this man has told me must be Christ. And he was. Now listen, this dear woman was saved by grace. Brother Green, why do you say that? All she did was ask a couple of questions, listen to the words of Jesus, believe the words of Jesus, receive the words of Jesus, and she threw down her water pot, her earthen vessel, and she ran into the city with a heart filled with living water. Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. Seven words. Jesus gave her the word of God. She believed it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She didn't do anything to be saved. She listened. She heard. She believed. She received. She testified. All in this world you can do. If you've never heard my voice until now, if you're traveling, if you've never heard of the Gospel Hour, you've never heard of Oliver Green, if you listen to what I've said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him in your heart, he'll save you, and you'll know it. You'll know it right now. As you travel in your automobile, as you sit there in your home, in an airplane, a ship at sea, wherever you are, if you'll believe on Jesus, he'll save you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save you right now. Father, honor the precious word, the name of Jesus, the shed blood. Save that soul that is under conviction. May many be saved by God's grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus. We ask it for his sake and in his precious name. Amen.